Today's shiur, Parshas, or Parshios, Matos, and Masei, is brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Rav Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov, Yitzchak Ben Chaim. A number of years ago, here in Eretz Yisrael, during the Gulf War, it's about 1991, I believe, a very serious shiloh was asked of Rav Shach Zatzal. It was asked, should the boys, whoever could, leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laaretz? This included, more specifically, you know, the boys that came from Chutz Laaretz or studying here from America, whatever. And it was a time of danger. And they asked, you know, should we maybe leave the yeshiva now and go home to safer grounds in Chutz Laaretz? So Rav Shach answered unequivocally, he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not, they should stay here and learn in Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, Rav Yashiv was asked the same idea, similar question during the Intifada, when the Intifada here was at its peak and every day you heard another killing, another suicide bomber or a bus being exploded, etc. Saying he was asked the same question, those that were able, had the means to leave Eretz Yisrael, you know, the Bachram, whatever, should they go, should they leave, or should they stay? So Rabbi Yashiv answered, he said, following, he says, no, why should they leave? He says, there's no safer place than in Eretz Yisrael. Which, of course, needs explanation. What's that supposed to mean? There's no safer place in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what, there's the time for sure, there were more bus bombings, etc., suicide bombers here in Eretz Yisrael than you'll find, you know, in other places, in America, etc. How can he say that there's no safer place in here in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Shach, he explained, he said that a person has to understand, as we know, we've heard many times, the Kol Bidei Shemayim, Chus Meir Shemayim, that everything's in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whatever happens to a person, whether he lives, he doesn't live, whatever happens, everything is in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're always in his hands. And therefore, a person shouldn't think, make a mistake to think, that, oh, you know, if I go here, then everything will be okay, you know, I'll be safe. Or if I don't go here, then, oh, it's dangerous, something bad can happen to me. It's not a matter of where you are, because we're always in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're always in his hands. What does it depend on? It depends on the Gzeiras Hashem. But we're always in Hashem's hands. And therefore, whatever happens, happens, and you can't run away from it. As the Or Sameach used to say, and also in the time of the war, where people were making all types of cheshbonos, people go here, maybe here it's safer, maybe there. He said, he used to say, the famous saying, that every bullet has its target, every bullet has its address. And therefore, what's meant to be is meant to be. If a person's gonna be safe, he'll be safe wherever he is. If a person's gonna be unsafe, he'll be unsafe whenever he is. Because it's all nigzar are from Shemayim. And therefore, you can't run away from it, and whatever's going to be is going to be. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, he adds to that in his Sefer Arches Yosher, that being the case, really, since if a person would, in other words, internalize this and feel this, really, he would come to the realization that, hey, there's nothing to be scared about. He has in his chapter about fear and Daiga being scared. He says, hey, if you really think about it, therefore, there's nothing to be scared about. What are you scared about? And being scared is not going to do anything. And he says, therefore, being scared is all a result of, boils down to one thing, he says, lack of emunah, lack of belief. I'll share with you his words. Again, he says the following, it all comes from lack of emunah. Because a person would believe with complete emunah that everything comes from Hashem, that even if he stubs his toe, it's all nigzar from Shemayim, everything. So what is he scared about? What is he worried about? If it's really nigzar on him, so what should I do? Nothing you can do. It's going to happen. V'im lo nigzar, ein lo mali trei. And if it's not nigzar, so there's also, what do you, nothing to be scared about, because nothing could happen. V'anachnu tamiv kol rega b'yad Hashem. And we are constantly in the hands of Hashem. Bein bizman milchama, bein bizman shalom, in times of war, in times of peace. V'arbe drachim l'makom. Hashem has all kinds of ways to save people in dangerous situations, and bad things happen to people when things seem to be peaceful. Hashem has all his many, many ways to make sure the gzera that he has in store to take effect. You want to be scared? Just be scared of Hashem. If you want something to be scared about, he said, you should be scared not to do averas. That, yes. Or be scared that you're not doing enough mitzvahs. But besides this, says there's nothing to be scared about. And everything we do, even when we are supposed to do things, certain times the Gemara says, in times of when there's a plague or whatever, a person has to go inside, etc. When there's hunger in the city, he should leave, etc. He said that's simply hishtadlis. Fine, you gotta sometimes do what you have to do, but he said to be scared, nothing to be scared about, because everything's in the hands of Hashem. There's as we approach Tisha B'Av, and we're in the midst of the 3 weeks. It's a famous Gemara. In Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yotes says, "Lo charva Yushalayim ela bishvil shebitlu ba tinochos shel Beis Rabban." That one of the reasons why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed is because they revatal the learning, Torah learning of children. There's an interesting story that happened also. During the Milchemes HaMifratz, the Gulf War, as we spoke about before, and Rav Shach also, he was asked that, as we mentioned before, he was asked about leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was asked a similar shaila: what should we do about the children that are in cheder, in schools, and Talmudei Torah, learning, and they were basically told that they should stay home. There were fears of the bombs, these rockets falling, and so they were told to stay home from school. So when Rav Shach heard this, he got upset, and he called one of the people involved in the chinuch system, and he says, "What's going on?" He says, You can't leave the kids home from school. He says, they must go to school. So he said, what happened? Look at the Purim story. Right? When there's Gzeiras Haman, what did Mordechai do during the Gzeiras Haman? He got all the kids together and started learning with them. Right? Because that's in the schus of the children learning, the Hevel Piyam Shel Tinocho Shel Beis Rabban. That's schus, that we can be saved. And we need a lot of rachamim, everything's in the hands of Hashem, and we need Hashem's rachamim right now. And then dafka, to have Hashem's rachamim, we have to, the kids learning, that's what bring it. So how can we let the kids, stay home and mevatel learning? So the person said to Rav Shach, okay, but he says, who's gonna take a chrayis for the lives of all these kids? I mean, walking the street, they get hit by a bomb. I mean, who's going to take responsibility? Rav Shach says, if that's the case, I'll take responsibility. I'll take responsibility for the safety of all the children. Just make sure they go to school. And sure enough, they ended up going to school. As we know, many, many miracles happened, and none of the children were affected. Which brings to mind another story, which happened earlier on. This was in the year Tafkuf Ayin Tet, 1819, Liminyanam. The time when here in Eretz Yisrael, the Yidden were living in the Old City, and very, very difficult matzav. There was in the times of the Turks, and the sanitary conditions was very poor, and they didn't have proper, sewage, etc. And specifically in the Arab section, there was terrible, lots of disease, and And at one point in this year, there was a terrible margefa, like a plague, that happened because of the sanitary conditions, and people were dying left and right. So I saw Derech Agav a couple of different versions of this story, but the general thrift of the story is that that they were told some Talmidim of the Gaon Mivilna that lived at the time here, and one of them, his name was Rav Hillel, another Rav Mendel, and they were living in the old city, and the Goyim, they decided that, what should we do? People are dying left and right. So they decided that the only thing they could do is they must leave the city. Everybody has to leave the old city and to move where the area where Kever Shmuel Hanavi is. And the Goyim went to, the Arabs went to Beit Ichsa, which is nearby, and to leave the city. And by doing so, since there's no more, people aren't using, you know, the sewage anymore, then the sun, was in the summer, will dry up all the sewage water that's around. And hopefully that'll, once everything's dried up, then it'll, the plague will stop and they can go back and live there again. So that's what they did. However, one version of the story is that the Jews didn't leave at all. Another version is that they also left. But this Rav Hillel, he used to have a minhag that every day he would go to he'd say Tikkun Chatzos at night at the Kosel. And even though everybody was ordered to leave and he left, he went, and he was an old man, he was fasting for a few days ever since they left because of the, Gzera, it was when the Gzera came out, so he started fasting. And now everybody was by Shmuel Navi, but he wasn't getting mevatel his minhag of going to the Kosel every night to say Tikkun Chatzos. So he made his way overnight, again fasting, older man, and made his way to the Kosel. And of course he davened for the welfare of the Jewish people, etc. And he was, crying so much that he fell asleep. And in his sleep, he saw a older man with a big beard, big white beard, come to him and speak to him. Who was it? His Rebbe, the Gra. And the Gomi Vilna, he said, "What are you doing?" He says, What? He says, "How could you leave the city and break up the children learning?" He says, "They hold a soul schus. If you want the things to go well, you want there to be health. They can't stop the kids learning, can't vatal the tinochos of base rabban." And so he said, "But what can I do? We have to leave," because he says, "Nothing doing. Bring them back, bring the kids back, they have to sit and learn. And I promise you, by Erev Shabbos, Zman Hadlakas Neiros, let me know more plague." So he awoke, he saw this was a real dream, and he went back, he told everybody what happened, and they returned, they came back to the old city, and the kids started learning, and sure enough, at Erev Shabbos, Tadlan Zman HaLekas Neros, that was it, there was no more, the plague had left. So, once again, whatever happens is in the hands of Hashem, and if we want to be scared, want to be worried, we have to be worried about mitzvahs. Make sure that people are learning, people are not doing the averas. That stops the plagues. That stops all the negative things from happening. But just running around says, "Oh no, what's going to be? I have to go here. I have to go there." So it reminds me of a story in during the war here in the north, when the bombs were dropping, from Syria all over in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So about 4 years ago. So one of the stories that hit the news was there was a family living in Nahariya at the time. And a lot of the families, they just packed up and left because they were, the bombs were falling all over. So they decided they wanted a little bit of respite. It was too much, too scary to be in their place. So they left and to go to the grandmother, which lived in Meiron. And if they wanted to, they went there for Shabbos. And Dafka, in Meiron, that Shabbos, a bomb fell and killed the grandmother and the granddaughter, which had come from Naria to be there to find quote unquote safe ground. Again, once again, it's everything's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person's life, and you can't run away from it. So once a Rav, he was a Rav based in of Tel Aviv. His name was Rav Ehrenberg. And he has an unbelievable story of how he survived the war. He was in the Holocaust, he was brought to the concentration camp, and as we've heard, you know, many a time, the famous selection. He was not very healthy, and sure enough, when it came his turn, he was told to go left with those Yidden that their lot would be there to be killed. And usually, didn't take long, a few minutes, they were annihilated. So he wasn't strong enough to be able to work, and sure enough, they said go to the left, and that was it. He knew his life was over, and any time now, in a few minutes, he was going to be killed. So as he's with the group over there getting ready, a German officer, he comes in to this courtyard where they're standing, and he starts looking at each of the people in the that are there. He's looking at this one's face and this one's face and going one by one looking. He comes to Rav Ehrenberg and he says, "Ah, it's you," and he takes him and away from the group. So the other German soldiers ask the officers, "What's going on? Well, you look at him, it's you, take him. Well, what's going on?" He said, "I'll tell you." He said, "Last night," the officer said, "I went to sleep, I had a dream. And in my dream, my father, no longer alive, he came to me in a dream, and he said, there's this one Jew that he's not to die. And he warned me, make sure this Jew doesn't die." And I remember very clearly, vividly, the face of this Jew. And after the selection, I went to see, and sure enough, this is it. This is the Jew I picked out. Because my father warned me that he has to be saved. So that was it. He was put, with the Jews that were not to be killed, and he survived the war. It was meant to be. Dreams, whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, like we said, many, many shlichim, and when it's the right time, it's the right time. Hashem takes care of things. So therefore, it's what our feelings are. They don't take a part. Well, I think this is a better place, this is a safer place, and it doesn't have any effect. So what does it boil down to? What's the bottom line? It boils down to halacha, meaning a person has to follow what the halacha says. Halacha says, for example, you're not allowed to be in a place which is dangerous, where there's imminent danger. Okay, you're not allowed to, just like a person can't stand in an extreme case, in the middle of a railroad tracks. Why? Because you can't say, well, if it's meant to be, I'll die, and if it's not meant to be, I won't die, and stand in the way we go. Because what you're doing is us. You're not allowed to put yourself in a makom sakana, in a dangerous place, where there's imminent danger, that the danger is to come. It's going to come for sure. So that's an avera, and if you do that, you'll be punished by being killed, most likely. So that's the only real cheshbon. So Mele, with that, Rav Shach explained that that's why he says you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. He said in the time, why? Because the only cheshbon is it imminent danger? So to say that, everybody's dying and it's just it's a clear thing. Okay, then of course we'd have to leave. We're taught to leave. But it wasn't as unfortunate, a number of people were dying, were in terrorist attacks, whatever, but it wasn't like imminent, it wasn't like, oh, of course, everybody's going to die, it's a person here, a person there, it happens, okay, but it's not imminent, it's not called a makom sakana, and once it's not a real makom sakana, so then there's no halacha that you have to leave. You have a certain amount of danger, whatever, no, once it's out of the category of makom sakana, then we're allowed to be here, then it's up to Kodesh Baruch Hu from there. Right? If we're not allowed to be here, then it's like standing in the railroad tracks. Okay, then you're not allowed to be there. If you do, you're taking your own life into your own hands. But once it's not dangerous, halachically, halachic dangerous, that you put your life in danger, So then, already you're allowed to be there. And as Rav Yashiv said, there's no safer place in Eretz Yisrael. Now we can understand what he said. Because since it's not, there's no imminent danger, then already it's like any other place, but of course Eretz Yisrael still has all the segulas of Eretz Yisrael. It's Inei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Marishas Hashanah, Nachrishanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, is taking care of us. You're here more than anywhere else. Therefore, unless it's imminent danger, there's no better place than Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that's why he said what he said. It just makes it a little bit difficult because when for us, because we see, like we said, this bus exploding and this, and we said, well, it's just we have to say that every person that died would die anyways. It's a little hard to it's hard for us to see that sometimes. We said, well, you mean all these people in the bus that were, you know, was exploded that died? If it wasn't for that bus, they would die anyways. So the answer is yeah. They would run away. This one would run to this land, country, and this country, and this. But this one would get into a car accident. This guy would get a heart attack. They would, if it's meant to be, that they're going to die no matter what. It wasn't because they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. That you can't say. It was that they're meant to be. So it's sometimes hard for us to see. But that's the emes. What does this all have to do with the parsha? I was thinking once on the. Parsha of really it's the parsha of Kashrin Kalim that the Yidden went out to war with Midian, and when they came back with the different Kalim from the Goyim. So then there's the parsha of how to kasher them. So the lashon of the pasuk is Vayomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava. So Elazar HaKohen said to the people of war, Habayim LaMilchama. Zos chukas haTorah. This is the laws of the Torah. Shetziva Hashem es Moshe, and then comes the laws of kasher. So the Meforshim point out very funny lashon here, because it says he told the anshei tzava habayim la milchama. Then habayim la milchama means to going to the war, but they were coming back from the war. So should have said, he spoke to the Anshei Tzava, Habayim min ha-milchama, should have said, coming from the war. Not Habayim la-milchama, you don't come back to the war, you come back from the war. So why is it la-milchama? So I was thinking, based on what we said, that a chayal, you know, a soldier, more than anybody else, you know, really feels this idea of every bullet having its target. You know, they're with the bullets. You know, they're living it. They see how, you know, bomb happens to fall here, a bullet here, and this one, you know, dies, and this one doesn't die, etc. So they can, more than anybody, really see and feel the Yad Hashem, and how really everything's really in the hands of Hashem. But the trick is not to just leave it in the, you know, when he's out in the battlefield, but to take this lesson with him home. In everyday life, like we said, and in as far as everything goes, everything's in the hands of Hashem, and therefore, like we said, nothing, no need to worry. And therefore, the pasuk's hinting this to us by telling us they're ba'im la milchama, meaning that even though they're coming from the war, but they should keep this hashkafa as if they're going to the war, as if they were this, like when you're going to the war, and in the war, a person feels this Yad Hashem. So too, he should take this lesson with him when he leaves the war as well. So, speaking of soldiers in war or whatever, it's a story from Kobe Levy that says there was once a soldier, was a dati, a religious soldier, but he was in a group with very non-religious soldiers, kibbutzniks and moshavniks, etc. And they were in a pluga group that was going into the very dangerous territory, very much into the enemy territory, and they were planning an attack in the middle of the night. So it happened to be that it was Rosh Hashanah, and this religious soldier, his name was Ephraim, he really, really wanted to, you know, Mekayim the mitzvah of shofar. So he says, where am I going to get a shofar? I'm going in the middle of nowhere. So he made sure that he took a shofar with him. So he put it in his his vest, you know, he was wearing the army vest with all the ammunition, etc. And he stuck inside in the pouch his shofar. It was like sticking out, you know. And the They were asking, what is that? What, so he said, it's Rosh Hashanah. You know, they didn't know the other soldiers. What are they doing? Yeah, so he says, Rosh Hashanah, and I want to, you know, be zocher to blow the shofar, make sure I have a shofar, etc., etc. Anyways, make a long story short, they went into the overnight, so it was Leil Rosh Hashanah, they went down into this valley to, you know, to hide out against the enemy. But unfortunately, they were found out, and they were shooting, and they said, oh, they realized that the enemy, the Arabs, they, you know, saw, you know, they saw that they had come there, and they started shooting at them. They're shooting back and forth, and all of a sudden they realized that they were had some injuries, and they had to, you know, take them away. One of the injured people was this Ephraim, this religious soldier. And a helicopter came and to save them, and took him off to Rambam Hospital. So one of his fellow Chayalim, non-religious, you know, went with him, and he was so scared for him because he was, you know, he was losing a lot of blood, and he was, you know, passed out, and he was scared for his life, whether this, you know, Ephraim would live or not. So they brought him to the hospital, and as it happened, he was okay. That he was just shot in like his feet and hands or whatever. In other words, not any of the main organs were nothing was affected, and therefore he was losing blood. But they gave him blood, and then he came to. So he was out for about 10 hours, and it was towards the you know late in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, and when he came, he woke up, and they're you know happy that he woke up and. His friend was, you know, there was by his bedside. The other chayal says, "Oh, you know, so happy to see that you're okay." And then, so he said, "I lost consciousness. How long have I been out? Just a few days?" Or he goes, "No, altogether only about 10 hours." So he says, "What? You mean it's still Rosh Hashanah?" So he says, "Yeah, it's still Rosh Hashanah." So he said, "Oh, good. I wanna blow the shofar." Where, he says, "Where's my shofar?" He goes, "Oh, my shofar probably, you know, left anywhere where we were camping out there, and on my shofar." He says, no. He says, "Your shofar that you had on you came with you. Here it is." So he says, "Okay, give it to me." So he put it to his mouth, and he wanted to blow it. He started blowing it, but nothing was coming out. It's like air. So his friend said to him, "Oh, yeah. Look, there's like a crack in it. That's why it's not, there's a big crack in it." He goes, "Oh no, I need a shofar." In the meantime, the doctor was standing next to him, and he was saying, "Let me see that shofar." So he picks up the shofar, because it sounded like there was some like ringing noise in there. So he started shaking the shofar, and out of the shofar came this scrapnel, this piece of, from a bullet, like a 4 millimeter bullet that was as sharp as a knife. And the doctor said to him, "Do you realize that a miracle happened to you, Ephraim?" He says, "What?" He said, because this shofar he was wearing in his vest, we said, in his army vest. What happened is this piece of scrapnel hit his chest where the shofar was, and the shofar absorbed the impact of it, and it got stuck in the shofar. He said, "Had this gone through you, you wouldn't be here right now." So it was in the schus of the shofar that Ephraim was Moser Nefesh for, that it saved him. So we see that, again, Kol B'yad Hashem, right? This bullet didn't have its target in Ephraim, right? And what was it? Because he was worried about doing mitzvahs. That's what he was worried about. As a result, in that schus, he was saved. I'd like to conclude with one last story. The began with Rav Shach, so we'll end with Rav Shach Zatzal, that he really lived this idea. So there was a story that there was once a Bachar that was learning by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer in Europe. And it was in the time of the First World War, where there was also a lot of course, bombs and things, very dangerous. And once again, the boys, I guess very dangerous situation. A lot of the boys are asked by their parents to come back home. So the boys, you know, left the yeshiva. The yeshiva understood, you know, the matzav, and the boys were leaving. So one bachar also decided he's going to leave as well. So he left and came home. And he came from a very poor family, so he had no money to, you know, take a train or something like that. He had to go by foot. And go by foot was very dangerous. The bombs falling all over. He's taking hiding over here, over there, whatever, trying to avoid the. And eventually, he made it home. And he knocks on the door. His mother opens the door. So what was her reaction? Well, you know, can imagine, oh, you're here, you know, hugging, kiss him. Meanwhile, his mother's reaction was, what are you doing here? He says, well, what do you mean, what are you doing? He says, why'd you come home? You're supposed to be in yeshiva. For the learning Torah. She says, Mom, did you listen to the news, maybe? You know what's going on out there? There's a war going on. She says, exactly. Not because there's a war, you shouldn't be here. Like we said before, you know, Tinoko Shabbos, you should be sitting and learning. The Torah is what's going to save us. You're coming home. So when the young man, Bacher, heard that, he says, you know, Mom, you're right. He just got up, turned around, made his way back to the yeshiva. So again, he didn't have any money for anything. He made his way by foot. It took him 2 weeks of going by foot, again, avoiding all the bombs, etc., to get back to the yeshiva. When he got back to the yeshiva, Mr. Zalman Meltzer says, what are you doing here? And didn't you go home? So he said, yeah, I went home, but, you know, my mother mentioned that this, you know, we need the schus of the Torah, and she's right, and before I decided to come back to learn Torah. So Mrs. Melzer hugged and kissed the boy and said, you know what? Fine, I'll let you back now into the yeshiva, but only on one condition. He looked down at his feet and he saw the boy whose shoes were all ragged and torn. And again, a very poor family. Didn't have money for a proper pair of shoes. And they're all torn and ripped. And of course, after this long, all this traveling back and forth, they were... So he says, I want those pair of shoes. And I'll get you a new pair. You wear the new pair of shoes, and I want you to give me these pair of shoes. On that condition, I'll let you back in the yeshiva now. She says, fine. Gives him the old shoes, because Rabbi Zalman Meltzer wanted to save these shoes as to remember this. He said, because he knew that this boy one day is going to be a great, great Rav. Because he saw his tremendous love and Mesiris Nefesh for Torah. And he wanted to remember him. So in a sign and the remembrance of this Mesiris Nefesh were these shoes that he did, he wore to walk home and back. And in fact, these shoes were handed down from generation to generation. They were originally, you know, Rav Zalman Meltzer. So he gave it to his son-in-law, it was Rav Aaron Cutler, who gave it to his son, Rav Schneer Cutler, who gave it to his son, Rav Malkiel Cutler. And the whole Cutler family had these shoes in their brake front, you know, that was remembering. Who was this Bacher? Rav Shach. He was the Bacher with the torn shoes, and as Rav Visser Salman also said, I know one day he's going to be great in Torah. So Rav Shach lived this, didn't just say, he lived it, this idea that everything's in the hands of Chodesh Baruch Hu, and the person's going to be alive, he's going to stay alive, and it's all up to Hashem, and person's only where he has to be and should be, is he doing the Ratzon Hashem, is he learning Torah, because in the Schus of the Torah, that's what's going to save a person, save Klal Yisrael. So Ritz Hashem, we should be Zocha Kulanu to internalize this message, to realize the Kol B'Dei Shamayim, not to fear, to fear only a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ashrei Adam Fachet Tamid, the Gemara says, refers to Torah and Mitzvahs. And in that schus of it says that in the, it was because of the Mevatlin Tinochos Shel Beis Rabban led to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. The schus of being Mekayim, the Tinochos Shel Beis Rabban, and keeping the Torah, learning, going strong, we should be Zoche to Lehefech, to the Binyan of Beis HaMikdash, Beit Shlishi, Bekar B'Yameinu. Amen.